What's up, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades? It's Timothy Gordon here, bringing you another solo Rules for Retrogrades. And we have some really, really relevant, time-sensitive, time-specific content today on a weekend installment of Rules for Retrogrades, because you've probably heard there is this November election-relevant article that broke on Catholic News Agency less than 48 hours ago from the time I'm doing this. And that one is called Why White House Catholics Are Concerned About Trump's Catholic Tweets. Now, on LifeSite News, you get some good reportage, fair reportage, countering this, defending the two public figures who are all but attacked in this CNA article. I'm going to do a complete bowling of the entire issue for you here today. I've got some insider knowledge, some insider perspective, and most of all, I want to give you a grassroots perspective on grassroots Catholicism, because that's what's been happening with my channel and other channels over the last year and a half to 2 years. Now, the two figures, Catholic figures, that were publicly more or less attacked in this CNA article using two anonymous White House sources were the good Archbishop Vigano and Dr. Taylor Marshall. Now, they were basically described as being off the res with regard to Catholic doctrine. This is, as you know, crazy for CNA, who is the all but the mouthpiece for the USCCB, who has stood down on Catholic social teaching, capitulated to the culture, to call, you know, two faithful Catholics, one lay, one clergy, of who stand against them, to be guilty of being off the reservation with regard to Catholic doctrine is absurd. No one bats, a thousand. But with regard to almost down to the last issue, Marshall and Vigano are right on and have defended the faith against the likes of CNA, the USCCB, who has stood down. As a matter of fact, I was the public representative for Sophia Press. I think it's Crisis Publications imprint for Marco Tosati's book, Vigano versus the Vatican. This is Sophia Press. This is a mainstream Catholic press, and I was the representative because of Dr. Marshall and my work on TNT, supporting the good Archbishop. So I want to first off come out and say, I called Marshall last night and offered support and congratulations for his Trump call. I left it on a message. And say, this is absurd. And more than that, I don't just want to talk about the article. You guys have probably seen it. I want to defend a third figure who emerged from the CNA article. This guy, Dan Scavino, who is doing great work in the Trump admin. He's the one that CNA basically accredits with the idea of reaching out to Catholic grassroots figures and apostolates. And if so, then Mr. Scavino, you're right on. He responded, before I get started here, to the CNA piece by calling it a disgraceful hit piece, which is what it is, right? I mean, no two human beings think 100.00% alike, but I mean, from the TNT show, all of you out there know that traditional Catholicism, what you got on, TNT, Taylor and Tim, has been on the ascendancy for a while before we got there, but really took a lift with TNT and with shows like ours. I'm talking about Church Militant, The Remnant, Jesse Romero's apostolate, Patrick Coffin, the Coffin Nation, more political Catholic thinkers like Jason Jones, even in the good work of Michael Knowles. And of course, then you've got Rules for Retrogrades right alongside. I'm probably leaving out some people, and not 1 Peter 5, right? All of these are supporters of President Trump, and together these seven, eight apostolates represent the Catholic grassroots. And a lot of this took formation in late 2018 after the Summer of Shame, when the USCCB declined to take strong action that they could have in response to the Summer of Shame. Uncle Ted McCarrick was one of their mouthpieces, who was the subject of all that scorn and opprobrium duly. They stood by their boy. They voted down the stronger measures that would prevent such heinous acts in the future. And I'm going to read you some facts about the USCCB today to justify why allegedly Dan Scavino is urging Trump to continue to reach out to people like Vigano. It's well worth it. The USCCB will not support them. I will show you why not. I will go all the way back to 2016 with the 2015-2016 with the erection of the Catholic Spring, the revolution in the American Catholic Church. It's been happening in the wider configuration of the church since well before Vatican II, since 50 years before Vatican II. Secretly Marxist ideas that oppose the true teaching of the church that guys like Marshall, Vigano, myself, you know, Patrick Coffin, or Jesse Romero have opposed. Church militant in a major way have opposed. So Dan Scavino is this kind of third hit piece in, hit target in the CNA hit piece. And they call him a headbanger. I don't even know exactly what that means outside of the context of metal, but it's insinuated that his support for these allegedly off-the-reservation Catholics, Marshall and Vigano, which is absurd for CNA to say to traditional Catholics, his support is a kind of headbanging off-the-reservation liaison, and they're insinuating that it's bad direction for the White House. It's perfectly good. Look at me, Mr. Scavino, if you're out there. Catholics approaching the November 11th, if you're out there. We've done lots of pre-election coverage here at Rules for Retrogrades, and look me right in the video eye. If ever there was such a thing as the Catholic grassroots, that, you know, what you've seen over the last, say, 2 years is that Catholic grassroots. If there's ever such a thing as any grassroots, politicians talk about it almost nonstop. You know, grassroots, grassroots, grassroots. All of the Soros front groups claim to be grassroots, and they're not. They're the exact opposite. They are, you know, centered. They are little mini command fiefdoms that are made to look like they're an organic uprising, a return to true principles, which allegedly, you know, the left, I guess, makes pretexts of such a restoration. That all exists in what has been happening on the Catholic internet, including Catholic Twitter, which is not such a pleasant place. It's ugly. People should get off of it. You know, I basically only want to use it to say when we have shows, because it is unpleasant. People tend to fight over minutiae. All those groups that I mentioned that represent faithful Catholic traditional voices representing 2,000 years of tradition, all of those groups, not all of us agree about 100% of everything. There are prudential judgment calls and even some interpretations of doctrine that differ. So be it. But these are all still faithful groups. And so I just want to commend Mr. Scavino and hope that he is part of, you know, the campaign in an essential way, and then the transition team, and then another 4 years, because this is the kind of thing that Catholics, who are the largest religious denomination in the United States, we should be hoisting the flag proudly that we have the realest instantiation of a grassroots sort of uprising. The opposite of the Catholic Spring, which we're going to talk about in a second here, fascinating history, of really any political or cultural, not only denomination, but group, apostolate, lobby, interest group, whatever. That's what's been happening since about 2018, and a lot of it does center around the kind of excitement, the upwelling that centered around the TNT show. But there have been others doing it for a lot longer than the Taylor and Tim show on Marshall's channel in 2018. Look at groups like Church Militant, or even older than that, The Remnant. So it's well advised to go to the Catholic grassroots, which clearly articulates there's only one party for us, and too often that party sells out, but is the only party that, under the guidance of this president, we are restoring the centering on life and the family. The center of every republic, according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 2207, I believe, the single cell of society is the family. Now, so if there is ever such a thing as a grassroots and a base that can be energized, it is at the roots of the Catholic grass right now. And it is precisely the parties that Scavino has been suggesting to Trump to make connections with. This guy, Vigano, he is at the center, I guess at the bottom of the Catholic grassroots. And any of you who watched TNT for all that time, you know our show's really centered around him. When there was Vigano news, we were eager to cover it, and since he wasn't representing himself, we would be the first people that would be turned to. And that's why I repped his book for Sophia. Now, this is important. LifeSite responded to CNA. I want to get into what the Catholic Spring was and why, because of the Catholic Spring, the USCCB is not the party, or any of the bishops are not the party that the most pro-life president in the history of U.S. presidents should be turning to now. I'll tell you why. Because they're bought and paid for. They're corrupt. They need to be defunded. I'll show you some facts and figures that substantiate that claim rather winsomely in a little bit. But even LifeSite wrote this, that regarding these two anonymous sources, even these two, they told CNA that they regret that the U.S. bishops have not supported the Trump administration much in its efforts to promote life issues and religious liberty. And one of them said, frankly, we'd have liked a little more support from the bishops. So the question today is, why are the bishops not just in a paucity or a lack, a privation of support for the Catholic grassroots, which represents, you know, the true life, the gospel of life? That's what's represented by true Catholicism. And the people that just want to drink from the waters of life, the true gospel, true tradition and magisterium and scripture working together in its bimillennial splendor. Just learn from the timeless truths. Why has there been a shift in emphasis? Well, it's the opposite of organic. The shift in emphasis, my friends, of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has been a command one, a directed one. Follow the money, follow the personages behind it all, and you will see why the actions follow the ideas. Why would Bishop Barron never respond to me? He said it should be the laymen that take action against BLM. Tearing down statues? Well, I did. I got fired by a brother bishop of his, who he knew very well in LA. He didn't speak one word. Why not? Because the events follow the ideas, and the ideas were bought and paid for, solidified in this attempt at a Catholic Spring movement, particularly leading up to last election. You probably forgot a lot of it, and I'm here to rattle my chains and to remind you. And that's what I'm going to do today in support of Vigano, Marshall, Dan Scavino, and more than any of these, not to put too fine a point on it, but President Trump, who has been the most pro-life president in the history of presidents. Okay, let's turn to the pages of a Antonio Socci book. I'll link to it in the notes below. I want to read you some key sections. Why, around the beginning of last election, the campaign season specifically, 2015-2016, was there a decisive turn in the USCCB? And it was already corrupted by the fact that it's on the take from taxpayers, that the 2018 report of USCCB, the audit, disclosed total assets of $365 million. With total operating revenues, gain, and other supports of $203 million. That's way, 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 way too much. And they shouldn't be a 501c3. We'll talk about that at the end. I don't want to lose people, though, because that's a little less juicy. I'm just substantiating with facts and figures that the USCCB is bloated. And as a 501c3, it cannot formally support the full expression of Catholicism in the public square, which it ought to be doing. it is diminishing its own evangelical efforts insofar as it's on the take, because it will get kicked off its 501c3 status if it does so. Now, we'll talk about how it soft pedals leftist ideas. First, I want to show you why. This is from Antonio Socci's book. The key figure in this affair is an important personality of the Democratic Party. John Podesta played a key role last election for Hillary, who in 2016 was appointed presidential electoral campaign chief for Hillary Clinton, and who was previously White House chief of staff in 1998 through 2001 for President Bill Clinton, Hillary's husband, and was also the co-chairman of the Obama-Biden transition project at the beginning of the Obama administration. We need to remember that in the United States, Catholics are the largest religious denomination, 80 million people, even though most of them don't give a damn about Catholicism. We hope that cradle Catholics will return to their faith. So we are the largest religious denomination, technically speaking. And the Catholic episcopate in those years was in large part faithful to the magisterium of Benedict XVI, which was pretty good. I mean, not an A-plus pontificate by my standards, but in terms of attempting in the post-conciliar world to make faithful on most grounds with lots of whiffs here and there was a B-plus episcopate or something like that. So much so that the Democrats in America, this is kind of the proof, not who are your friends, but who are your enemies, they were not fans of Benedict XVI. Democrats in America knew that Benedict was leading the faithful American Catholics away from policies that were socialist, which were the Democrat policies even for 8 years back, 12 years back. For this reason, the orientation of the electorate and of the episcopate was a very important political question. Thus, in February of 2012, Podesta received an email from Sandy Newman, friend of Barack Obama and president of the organization of Voices of Progress, which is concerned with climate change, immigration, and similar issues. In other words, the pet issues, the sine qua nons of this pontificate under Francis. Newman asked Podesta how to, quote, plant the seeds of the revolution, end quote, in the Catholic Church. This did not concern only topics like contraception. Here's a direct quote from the letter. There needs to be a Catholic spring in which Catholics themselves demand the end of a Middle Ages dictatorship and the beginning of a little democracy and respect for gender equality in the Catholic Church, end quote. This comes from WikiLeaks, okay? So we know that Podesta and his interlocutor, Sandy Newman, here are speaking their minds freely. It's like a, you know, technological version of In Vino Veritas. We know they're speaking openly because they think they're off the record. Important to remember that. Obviously, there was a need to defeat whoever in the church would be opposed to such a revolution. Podesta responded to the email explaining that they were working in this direction. Here's his response. Quote, we created Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good, it's a group, to organize for a moment like this. Think of the time signature, and think of the timeliness of the issues. But I think it lacks the leadership to do so now. Likewise, Catholics United. Like most spring movements, I think this one will have to be bottom-up. There is no bottom-up Catholic spring, right? Because liberal Catholics will be liberal simplicitaire within a generation. Liberal Catholics do not last. The only bottom-up movement is when, from time to time, the truer ressourcement, I mean that not in the sense of Vatican II, the true restoration of Catholic values and precepts will become fashionable again, in not in the sense of a gimmick, but in the sense of real fashion. They're perennial. In season and out of season, as St. Paul said. They're always in style. And sometimes they become a little more stylish, particularly with the youths. And that's what happened with the enthusiasm for tradition that is welled up in 2018, 2019, 2020 with all of these apostolates. I didn't mean to leave off LifeSite News, if I did. They responded to the CNA article, and they've been a major part of it as well. Good people that have helped, you know, were right there alongside Church Militant, TNT program back in the day. 1 Peter 5 was one of the original ones to really track, you know, the subterfuge in the Francis pontificate. But tradition has become fashionable again with Catholic youths. I'm talking 18-year-olds that can go vote, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds that are having big families again. Tradition is on the ascendancy. This is the only true Catholic spring. Now, I'm not going to use the term because it's got this apparatchik's association with the left. In other emails exchanged between leadership of Democratic think tanks and important personalities of Hillary Clinton's electoral campaign, Catholics are ridiculed in various ways. And I want to read this next paragraph before I take a break and make a couple comments, because it is the namesake of this program and of Dave's and my book, Rules for Retrogrades, Responding to Saul Alinsky. This comes from Paul Ryan, responding to the WikiLeaks thing. He says this: the revelation of these emails stirred up a reaction from, among others, Paul Ryan, Republican Speaker of the House, who said this. I don't have the direct quote he's responding to, but listen to this. To despise the Catholic Church, accusing her of being, quote, seriously retrograde, is an insult to millions of people in this entire country. In any case, this declaration reveals the hostile approach of the Clinton campaign toward people of faith in general. I mean, this is Paul Ryan, so I like what he says here, but it doesn't represent hostility toward people of faith in general. It represents a hostility toward Catholics, and particularly true Catholics, Catholics who want to restore tradition, like Vigano, Marshall, and all the other names I've listed, the apostolates, that know that these ideas are popular in season and out of season. In the 60s and 70s with Peter, Paul, and Mary and bad sandals and poetry, for some reason they got out of fashion, but that's gone, man. Their day came and it went, and now the ideas are important again. And to be retrograde, which one of these campaign staffers called the church, is back in fashion. It's like a deplorable 2.0. That's how I define being a retrograde in our book, Rules for Retrogrades. Now, I took the term partly from, you know, the epithet, and I also took it partly from Pius X, one of our greatest, modern popes, who said that you're going to be called a retrograde if you stand in the world or in the church amidst these modernists, really just a religious term for Marxists, who deride tradition, who hate tradition, and who hate those who strongly stand by tradition, giving it its voice and enlivening it. Now, I'm gonna go on in a second reading this, but it's important to give people a sense of what I just read, and I want to keep this video short enough to be watchable. But this is really important. The Catholic Spring movement that was betrayed by the WikiLeaks dump right before last election was an attempt on the part of the Hillary staffers in campaign to enhance their standing with Catholics, which it can never do, right? Marxism, always anathematized by the church. This became very clear among the 20th century popes. Abortion, you know, an innate evil, right? The slaughter of one's own children, the murder of one's own children. Innately evil, these are like the central issues on even the early 21st century Democratic platform. And since then, they've really added LGBTQ, which just, that's even further down the intrinsic evil, the evil in se route that the Catholics just can't negotiate. So even Catholics that don't really like President Trump or don't like the kind of stodginess, or I guess curmudgeonliness, that this stands for, they have their hands tied. You're stuck. Me and Dave debated friendly Lizzie Rizé as to whether or not a Catholic could even vote Democrat. And I mean, you can go back and watch that debate to see how the opposing view fares. It doesn't fare well. You can't do it, right? Even if you're not an enthusiastic supporter of Trump, you gotta be a supporter of the party and the platform, because it's pro-life, and all issues were not created equal. Life issues, life, and abortion and euthanasia issues are categoricals. Issues like the death penalty and war, this is, I'm quoting from a CDF document penned in 2004 by Ratzinger, specifically for an election, I think the American election. These are issues you can beg to differ on. You know, death penalty is not, properly speaking, a life issue then, according to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, you know, restored, clarified in 2004. Neither is the articulation and the declaration and the implementation of war, right? These involve prudential judgment calls, and the church will not adjudicate such matters. So what Benedict was strongly insinuating is that the right-wing position, which is usually taken to be pro, I mean, it's this is a monolith and it's inaccurate, pro-war and pro-death penalty, these don't transgress the position or the teaching of the church. But it's not even true that right-wingers are pro-war anyway. That's a misnomer. So I think it should be really clear that the attempted Catholic springtime in the church has affected the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. I'm going to show you why with the next paragraphs. Okay, they should be celebrating the superlatively pro-life U.S. president so far, the first 3.5 years, Trump. They've been quiet. And the only time they've ever appeared, I'm thinking of recent history, the June 8th protest at Lafayette Park by clergy, forcibly, it was like a forced march, forcibly by clergy, enforced by Archbishop Gregory, the Cardinal of D.C. there, basically to support, forced by their boss, it's a real First Amendment issue, to support pro-abortion, anti-Christian organization Black Lives Matter. I got fired over this from a Catholic church, as most of you know. But Archbishop Gregory, in June 8th, partly as a response to President Trump's June 2nd visit to the Basilica there in D.C., he's responding in a negative way, and then he is supporting the enemies of President Trump, the terrorist organization Black Lives Matter. So, if the USCCB bishops, the talking heads, are saying anything, it's insinuatively pro-Democrat instead of strongly pro-Republican, which is shocking. Here's why. In 2016, this is back to my Sochi book, Andrea Minardi noted that, among others, quote, an important donor financing this cause is the philanthropist, you guessed it, George Soros, behind Black Lives Matter and everything else. He's a fervent supporter of liberal and global themes opposed to Catholicism. Minardi made a list of the funding provided by Soros' organization to progressive Catholic organizations and then wrote the following. Soros himself, we know from another group of WikiLeaks documents published last summer, donated $650,000 for the 2015 visit of Pope Francis to the United States. Among the beneficiaries, there is also PICO, People Improving Communities Through Organizing, which is a Marxist thing, which is an Alinskyite thing. And that's supported by Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga, BFFs with Pope Francis, one of the men closest to the Pope, arguably the very closest to the Pope of all living men. Its purpose, to influence and favor the creation of a bishop's front that will dissociate itself, this is the important part, maybe the key line in today's video. Think of the slander of Marshall and Vigano and Scavino and Trump himself when I read this. The purpose of organizations such as PICO, to influence and favor the creation of a bishop's front in America that will dissociate itself from the cultural warrior identity of the American episcopate and be more in tune with Bergoglio on the themes of economic justice, think equality. Better yet, as one of the documents show, to influence the Pope himself, involving him by means of Cardinal Maradiaga. The implied effect, to marginalize the more conservative members of the hierarchy, such as the still very influential Charles Chaput, Archbishop of Philadelphia. Ricardo Cascioli in the La Nuova Bussola Quotidiana journal also emphasized the importance of these revelations. The financier, George Soros, has made consistent contributions to Catholic organizations in order to, quote, change the priorities of the American Catholic Church from themes of life and family on one hand to those of social justice on the other. I'm going to read you this Bishop Barron quote. representative of the USCCB in a second. Recall this. From life and family on one hand to those of social justice, think environment, immigration, equality issues, Black Lives Matter on the other. The great occasion for this to happen, I continue, was given in the September 2015 visit of the Pope to the U.S., and Soros' foundation aimed explicitly at using the good rapport between PICO and Honduran Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga, one of the chief counselors of Pope Francis, to engage the Pope on themes of social justice. Now, Sochi asks, how is this huge investment justified? Cascioli explains, the first and most important reason is the great investment and that traditionally anti-Catholic philanthropic organizations are making to undermine the teaching of the Church. And this is the true goal of the, quote, change of priorities they call for, away from the themes of family and life to those of social justice. In this, Soros is a part of the stream of decades-long tradition that includes as protagonists the principal American foundations, from Rockefeller to Ford, from Kellogg to Turner, and so forth. It is a project of Protestantization. The motive? The Catholic Church, which in its relationship with international organizations, has as its fundamental goal the defense of human dignity. It is the last bastion that stands in the way of a new world order that wants to reduce man to a simple instrument in the hands of power. Thus, on January 22nd, 2017, the online review, Catholic Online Review of the Remnant, published an open letter from a group of American Catholic personalities to the newly inaugurated President Trump. In their letter, they asked Trump to investigate a matter that remains cloaked in secrecy. What is the source of all this, and what is the ultimate destination of all of this skullduggery? Okay, so let's get to the USCCB. The grassroots is in the Catholic world, American Catholicism, is rooted against the USCCB, who won't support us. The grassroots cheers on the most pro-life president in our nation's history. The USCCB says nothing, gives him no plaudits when he does something pro-life, and they're always just looking to nitpick or call him a racist, call him an anti-immigrant bigot, a xenophobe, whatever stupid epithet they use. They're trying to tear him down, and they're ignoring all the good he does. So there's a reason for all this. Let's talk about what the reason would be. Now, just to show you that Bishop Barron, who's in many ways the mouthpiece of the USCCB, or one of the mouthpieces of the USCCB, because he's got such a huge online teaching footprint, he says this. Think of that change in priorities that Soros and the Soros front groups have been working toward over the last 5 years, longer than that, but really specifically, that which came out in the WikiLeaks email dumps 4 falls ago, in the first election, which saw Trump prevail. With considerable eloquence, they reminded us of the shift in emphasis that has taken place with the magisterium of Pope Francis. He's not condemning this, by the way. Concern for the environment, for economic justice, for the poor, and for victims of violence, and for refugees and immigrants has been brought to the fore in a new way, and our teaching, they insisted, ought to reflect this change. Wow. 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 Okay, so that's Bishop Barron, who still calls himself a Thomist, right? He won't respond to simple, direct pleas from the heart like my own. I lost my job. I had 6 kids. My eldest daughter just had brain surgery. A month and change before I was fired, and I was fired for doing what he'd admonished Catholics to stand up to the BLM. The shepherds aren't supposed to. The bride defends the household, not the bridegroom, according to Bishop Barron's theology of the household. Well, okay, so let's get down to it. Dan Scavino, who called the CNA piece a disgraceful hit piece, is right on the money when he says what we need to do in November and before then, between now and then, is to energize the Catholic base, the largest religious denomination in America. We think of America as vaguely anti-Catholic. Yeah, that's before it got completely secularized, when at least it used to be a Protestant place rather than a secular left place. Well, the culture is secular left. Most of the politicians in D.C. who live in and around the area are secular left. So, it's ironic that now we're the largest denomination. Well, the USCCB has capitulated, and that's why they won't support Trump's pro-life equipoise. They refuse to do it. They're bought and paid for. $365 million, according to this 2018 audit, with total operating revenues, gain, and other supports of $203 million. They are a 501c3 status tax-exempt organization, which means that they're restricted. This designation is restricting the Catholic Church from professing the totality of the Christian faith in the public square. I'm pulling from a Crisis magazine article, which helped me with this portion, digging up the financials of the USCCB. I'm going to link to this too. I'm going to link to my Sochi book. I guess I'll link to the CNA article, the LifeSite article, which is a good response to it, defending Vigano and Marshall and others. And I'm also going to link to this Crisis. So you'll find four sources for this particular video. So 501c3 is essentially restricting, depriving the full expression of the Catholic Church in the American public square, which it needs to be doing. It's the one true faith, and it is the time to not have this 501c3 restriction. We need to defund the USCCB. At the very least, yeah, no one should be appealing to them. Everyone knows. They're a fangless snake. They work against themselves, they work against the faithful, and they usually teach against doctrine these days. So just defund them. If they were defunded or they self-defunded, that would be the nobler thing, then they wouldn't be 501c3 and they would be able to teach the true gospel, right? They wouldn't have to shy away from teachings about contraception, abortion, euthanasia, gay marriage, all these issues that are hot button issues. They barely even cheer. Even in the face of ostensible victories by a president who's doing good work in most of these areas. Okay? So the USCCB, you might not know, is massive. It is 33 offices wide. It is bureaucracy par excellence, right? Like, you know, to compete with any bureaucracy in D.C., 33 offices wide. So activity for against politicians and political causes cannot be outright supported. If anything, they soft support the Democrats, and that's why they're not going to support Trump, but they can't hard support the Democrats either. You'll see them just stand down even when a good Republican president does very Catholic things and says very Catholic things. You'll see them avoid, they'll pivot and obviate praise, due praise for Trump. You never see it. The only time they'll ever open their mouths is to blame Trump. And this is, it's a cry against justice. It's a breach of justice because plaudits, when they're due, should be given. But it's more important in terms of the social expression of the church and the expression to, a subliminal expression to the sons and daughters of the church as to what the real teaching of the church is. You get that. You signal to your son or your daughter, this is good. By they see their older brother getting a pat on the back, applauded, an attaboy for doing his chores with rigor, right? So they're the largest recipient of taxpayer monies within the USCCB is their group called, or their subset called, Resettlement Services. Now, the USCCB received over $2 billion from the Fed between 2008 and 2015. Enormous. Enormous sums of cash always lead to enormity, which, look it up, it means evil. This is for their refugee resettlement services alone. And there are only 9 groups, by the way, in America that receive these contracted monies. They're contracted, the resettlement services. Now, the proper response to questions of funding, I believe, is given not by the USCCB, who's on the take, but the head of the Acton Institute, Father Robert Sirico. Listen to what he said about the dangers of accepting so much monies. The dangers of accepting government money, even in crisis, are paramount. What is pertinent here, he says, and what is of great concern to me, is the way in which government money can cause a mission shift or a mission drift. He went on and spoke of the distinct possibility of government intervention that could shift our focus, our Catholic focus, into a different direction than the mission with which we began our endeavors. Now, suffice to say, the 267 active bishops in the USCCB, all but a very small, small minority, very small, have, it's the understatement of the year, they have undergone mission shift, mission drift, to borrow Father Robert Sirico's words. And money is almost always behind mission shift. I mean, sometimes it's private vice, private privation. I mean, look at the fall, look at our fallen nature, sin. But when it's so centered, when it's a centralized mission drift, there's monies behind it. It's usually monies from Soros. So the simple answer is for the USCCB to strip itself of 501c3 status. That's not really my concern, because they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. But this is a good reason to defund the USCCB. They'll always stand with Black Lives Matter, because even though they're a 501c3 and they're not allowed to give formal support to, you know, political advocacy, they are allowed to give soft support, and they're always going to do it with the culture. Whereas their mission statement, the mission statement of Christianity, of the Roman Catholic Church, is to be against the culture. Think of what Jesus says in John's Gospel. The culture hated me first, it'll hate you second. I mean, you're not as great as I am. You're my missionaries, and it hated me. It's going to hate you. The USCCB is supposed to oppose the culture, oppose abortion, euthanasia, the corruptness that stems from government intervention in refugee services, which is tremendous. And it doesn't. The mission has shifted. So here's the solution. I'll wrap up this way. If ever there was a grassroots organization that was available, willing and ready to help out a political candidate doing mostly the right things, it exists amid the Roman Catholic American grassroots restore tradition people, the apostolates that I've named above, the apostolates that, thank goodness, thank God above, you've got an advocate like Dan Scavino telling Trump, hey, go out and publicly praise or acknowledge Archbishop Vigano's letter, which mentions you, and all the people that supported Vigano, which are the listed advocacy groups, apostolates. Thank goodness. So Catholics, here's what we can do. Go out, support President Trump in November. Support him before November. Tell your friends. Make it really clear. Restore their knowledge of the 2004 CDF document that says you really can't vote for a political candidate. Any Democrat will fall under this category. That is anti-life. And tell them about the WikiLeaks. Not enough people know about this, even Catholics. From 2015-2016, which said Soros and Soros groups are fostering at Catholic Spring where they can, which shift the emphasis from the Catholic life issues, which will and family issues, which will always underscore voting Republican in today's political context, to one of immigration, equality, racial, you know, tension easing, and the like, which will always insinuate a leftism in a support of Democrats. One is Catholic, one's not. One's the gospel, one's the anti-gospel. So good work to LifeSite for responding to CNA so quickly, and good work to all the named parties. Catholics, go out and vote. Deus Volt. another 4 years of Trump. We don't know what's going to happen afterwards. It's going to get ugly. But four more years. Let's do this. The Catholic grassroots is the truest grassroots in the American political landscape today.